Dark wings.
Dark words.
The Game of Thrones podcast.
Season 3, episode 0.
How I spent my summer vacation.
I know what you did last summer.
Okay. Hey, we're doing it.
We're back.
We're back, baby. This is...
We're excited. Right?
Yeah.
This is it.
I think.
I feel excited.
As excited as the fans.
I'll be the judge of that.
Thanks for joining us. I must apologize for the internment camps I've been managing since. Hey, everybody, welcome back. And thanks for joining us.
Let's keep riffing.
It's been far too long since.
It's been such a long time.
Winter came and went.
That's right.
Well, yeah.
Spring is coming.
By the calendar, perhaps.
And with
not
it,
by the weather.
Thank you guys for joining me a week before the season 3 premiere.
Depending on when you post this.
Right. Yeah, this ought to go up before that happens. But we ended last season with the promise of some between seasons chatter on such forthcoming...
then forthcoming topics as
Prometheus. I thought for sure we would all be excited to.
Me too. Till I saw it.
Get back in our podcasting chairs after watching Prometheus.
Well, I liked it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you like it? Like it? Okay.
Have you ever seen any of the Aliens movies?
Sick burn.
Just the fourth one.
What?
Are you kidding?
Yes.
He's not smiling. Okay.
Is that the one with Shia LaBeouf and the aliens?
No, that's Indiana Jones 4.
Yeah, so Prometheus, I think we were also not just underwhelmed, but insulted by that movie, except for Mike, of course. The thrill was gone. We didn't want to go through all the difficult logistics of assembling
the
podcasting crew just to
tear
that one down.
Move all this equipment around. The mythology didn't present the way I thought it would. That's all.
Right. Yeah. God, fucking Prometheus. Don't get me started.
now we're reliving it.
Here's a problem with things that people start when they're young and awesome and maverick and then finish when they're way older. The problem is they're way older.
Ridley Scott doesn't really give a shit, except that fans have been clamoring for this kind of thing forever. And the Alien franchise had gone way far astray.
Right. I mean, do you think Prometheus was better than... third and fourth Aliens movies?
It was, the movie itself was better crafted. I mean, visually beautiful and like pacing and casting and all those things better than, say, like the Aliens versus Predator movies. But the way that it essentially undid a lot of coolness from the original Alien, the whole conceit of Alien is just undone by the stupidness of this sort of origin story.
Getting off to a pretty negative start this season.
Yeah.
It's all right. I mean...
It deserved it.
We're talking about it because we love some element of the past of it, right? Of the franchise.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, it basically stole the cool elements and wasted them on some bad decision-making story-wise.
I wonder if people didn't feel that way when Star Trek The Motion Picture came out a little bit. Some of those long, pregnant scenes where not much happened, visually cool for the day, but just a lot of screen time that was like,
I think Star Trek The Motion Picture, I think, was maybe a little bit too influenced by 2001 Space Odyssey,
which couldn't be more different texture wise, you know?
Right.
And one had LSD, the other one didn't.
But it still was the late 70s, and lots of poor decisions were made in the 70s.
And also lots of good decisions. I can't think of any. I wasn't alive.
We want to have a good balanced view. We can't just go out there and say the 70s sucked, because for some people it was really something special. So, but anyway, okay, so Prometheus, yeah. Perhaps we ought to have recorded that podcast, and all of my vitriol would have been more focused, and all the details were fresh.
I'm glad they're not, because
we don't have to.
I don't want to get tripped up on how shitty something was.
But I felt like we had to have this conversation to bridge where we left off before we get into season 3, which is imminent. But then, so I also assumed that The Hobbit would have been a great juicy topic for a podcast, and I talked to you, Craig, about, hey, should we read it? Since, you know, this podcast is sort of loosely, essentially the theme of it is page-to-screen adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're not going to talk about A Song of Ice and Fire and Game of Thrones, we ought to at least talk about similar, you know, page-to-screen adaptations, which what's, you know, The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit are like the...
It's a big deal.
...closest cousins to this.
Yep.
But we were kind of bummed after we saw The Hobbit, too.
Yeah, I didn't love it. I thought it was... I really was excited when... What's the guy's name? Martin...
Freeman.
The casting excited me. I love that guy, and I thought he was a perfect fit and cast. And I'll tell you, a lot of the direction for The Hobbit I thought was a little impersonal. There were a lot of scenes where I figured there would be tighter shots on faces, like a little closer... more conversational shots that ended up being pulled out a long ways. I had an image in my mind of that movie, some of the parts of it, in my mind's eye. My mind's got an eye. And in almost every instance, the camera was pulled back further. It was a more impersonal conversation. It was stilted. So I was disappointed with the conversation, the dialogue.
I figured with the first 20 minutes it was going to be a musical.
That's how it was. We weren't going to say that's how it was in the book this season, were we? Well, in the book, I'm really going to try not to do that.
And the 48 frames per second deal was an interesting twist. You know,
it felt like
watching it on a new 240 hertz TV or something.
It was distracting. I mean, I'm still glad we did it that way, because it made it a more memorable experience in some ways.
I meant to see it again in the normal frame rate. I really did, but I didn't, and I should have.
I was super fired up because I researching it, like we saw it opening night, or well, I guess there was like the midnight show the night before or whatever. But I thought for sure that the IMAX 48 frames per second 3D version was also the one that was going to have the special sneak preview of Star Trek Into Darkness beforehand. But that was the non 48 frames per second 3D. Was it non-IMAX as well? Was it just a regular old...
You couldn't get all four things in
I couldn't do it all at once.
And I was like, oh, we gotta get IMAX. And you're like, well...
Did you guys even get it 3D? Or it was just 48 frames IMAX?
3D and 48 frames, but not IMAX.
But not IMAX HFR. And not the Star Trek preview. That's what it was. But anyway.
You get to.
I haven't seen it yet, so...
That was the hot debate that night, though. Craig almost went and saw it on his own. In the other room, because it wasn't IMAX.
Sorry, man.
It's all right. Then we could have come out, and we would have all pretended to love it.
If we have any new listeners this season, this gets way better. We're going to be, next episode, you're going to be like, oh, this is great. When this, you know, you edit that out.
We say edit that out about four times an episode, too, you'll see.
I like it when we say edit that out and Chuck doesn't edit it out.
That's our catchphrase.
Like our last season two, episode 10, Valar Morghul. Fuck! That really, I listened to
that. Say that into the mic next time.
Morghulis.
I listened to that podcast to recap, like for the first time maybe a couple days ago, and I was laughing out loud at work.
I don't think I accurately conveyed the fact that it was the Cindy Margolis' name that was tripping me up. I knew how to say Valar Morghulis. I mean, Jesus.
It's first year shit.
Yeah, that's right. But anyway, Valar Morghulis is my favorite swimsuit model. So I'm glad, because I, well, we didn't necessarily have time to do it in the fall, but I proposed that Craig and I were each going to reread each of the Lord of the Rings books and then rewatch the extended edition DVDs and then do a podcast episode of each one sort of in the weeks or months leading up to the grand moment when The Hobbit came out.
But it turns out I didn't have 90 free hours.
Right. Yeah, we easily put that off.
It's what we do.
It's what we do. I did... what's the thing that I read that totally bummed me out? Oh,
Mein Kampf.
Edit that out.
No, I went to see something... Oh, I know what it was. It was The Dark Knight Rises. In prep of The Dark Knight Rises coming out, which was what, like August or something, I watched Batman Begins and The Dark Knight again, and I was like so Batmaned out. I had like Batman fatigue a little bit going into The Dark Knight Rises, and I just didn't enjoy it as much, and I think first of all, it was... the lesser of those three films, the least of those three.
Which, it's still good, I mean.
Still good, exactly. But if I'd gone into it without the first two so fresh in my mind, I think I would have just enjoyed it fine. Because it would have been, oh yeah, Batman again, and
but that's how you
kick-ass
should,
Christopher Nolan
style. That's how
style.
You should think of it. I mean, the past movies deserve to be fresh in people's mind when you see the new latest one. You don't want to... give the new one a free pass just because you know the other ones aren't fresh.
No, you're right. It should have been mind-blowing even if I'd watched the first two like that day. And but it wasn't. So that the movie is weak and that's disappointing.
How do we keep screenwriters and directors the same age that they always are and just never let them
keep that youthful
mm-hmm.
enthusiasm?
Yeah.
You put them in a room and you make them write 10 movies at once, and then you release them slowly.
Or breed an army of clones, or brains in glass jars.
Now we're just talking about movies. Again.
And philosophies.
Indeed. But anyway, so it was that experience of being disappointed by The Dark Knight Rises that dissuaded me from rereading The Hobbit before going to see The Hobbit.
Oh, that's a cop-out.
So, which I think is even more important in this instance, since the movie only covers like the first third of the story. So if it would have dampened my enthusiasm for the next two Hobbit movies if I just recently reread the whole book. Even, I mean, there's stuff sprinkled in there from The Silmarillion, which I suppose I also could have
endeavored to read.
I've tried twice in my life
isn't
to read The
like,
Silmarillion and dropped off before.
Isn't it
like
the Book of
pages.
Genesis? Like,
yeah,
10,000 names in a row with no
totally
nothing else.
There's a section of it that was sort of rewritten as a separate novel by Tolkien's son,
Christopher Tolkien,
from his father's notes or whatever. I can't remember what it's called, but my wife gave it to me for Christmas about 6 years ago. I haven't got around to that one yet, but I'll report back on that.
I love it, honey. It's okay. She won't listen to this podcast.
Probably not. But she supports it.
Thank goodness.
In her own way.
Thank goodness.
So what do you think after seeing the first Hobbit movie? I mean, I'm wondering how they're going to make it into... I'd originally heard they were going to do two movies, and then they made it three.
Yeah.
And the next one's supposed to be... I mean... Smog's background and stuff type deal, but
I'm a little worried.
It's like, I mean, 9 hours of The Hobbit, which is like what, like 300 pages or something like that.
Well,
it's a kid's book, you know.
More is not necessarily a bad thing, especially since they're pulling from Silmarillion
texts.
Material. It's not strictly just The Hobbit stuff. Although they did set out to film two, and it's only because they had so much stuff after principal photography was done that they're like, oh, we could make three movies out of this. And that doesn't seem like a great way to make three movies.
Right. Oh, we have all this extra footage.
Yeah. So it doesn't, yeah, we don't have to leave as much on the cutting room floor.
And someone will say, oh, we can make all this extra money.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It kind of reminds me of the Matrix trilogy. And that they filmed, you know, The Matrix.
The Matrix.
Matrix,
Reloaded, Revolutions.
Revolutionized, Reloaded.
They filmed those back to back, and I really liked Reloaded, but I really didn't like Revolutions. And I think maybe they, since their experience of making those movies was simultaneous, they didn't really have the perspective or distance from it to see that
this sucks.
That the third one.
Was really
the pacing
weak.
Of it was weak.
And it's money, man. It's all money. Which is funny that I'm coming down on a franchise or any franchise for just being have production that's money centric. When
you love whole, money,
no. When the whole premise that well, money's not terrible, but the whole premise of The Hobbit is the dwarves are going to like let's get our fucking money back. Let's get that money. Come on, put your hands on the money, the gold.
I want the gold. Give me the gold.
Which dwarf are you?
Sleepy.
That's one thing that always kind of bugged me. Like, whenever I think of The Hobbit, I basically am just remembering the Rankin Bass animated special from the 70s. And I know, I mean, I did read The Hobbit book. Actually, the edition of The Hobbit book that I read was the illustrated edition from that cartoon with pictures from that and all. But, yeah, the dwarves don't have much depth of character in that, and
well, that they, money.
At least in this movie, they give some depth to the dwarves, don't you think?
No,
you don't think so.
No,
more so than the 60-minute cartoon.
The dwarves are more cartoony, more cartoony in this movie than maybe they were in the cartoon.
But not constantly. What about Thorin Oakenshield? He was like grim and. He was like the angstiest dwarf ever imagined.
Emo dwarf.
Sultry. And the way they sort of reflect on the loss of their homeland and their, you know, 20 years cast into the wilderness. And
The overriding...
The Bible.
Don't you think there's some ennui and stuff going on there with the dwarves?
The overriding theme I got from the dwarves is that they want their money back.
No, they want their homeland back. They want a home. Yeah. They've been just sort of like wandering mercenary laborers... With no direction.
Don't draw that comparison.
Rootless and... What? Laborers?
Nothing.
Oh. Well, yeah. So
we've lost the unions.
All right. So...
So, that's possibly touching upon all the disappointments of...
Of winter.
Of winter.
Besides winter itself.
They were right about winter. Oof.
So, Prometheus... Dark Knight Rises, Hobbit, disappointments across the board. Although Dark Knight Rises is decent. I mean, Christopher Nolan is...
Was there any good movies that came out in the winter?
A good movie. Well, it never even occurred to me, but The Avengers would have been the juiciest topic for a podcast. Did you guys see The Avengers?
Yes. Yeah.
I was like super amped up, like thrilled, over the moon, excited about that movie.
And then did you feel the same way when you left the theater?
Yes.
Good.
Which is so rare. Usually heightened expectations are a recipe for disappointment.
I loved it, but I don't know the mythos that much. Kind of like Phil is to this podcast, I was pretty Avengers kind of guy that people who know the comic books would make fun of, like, oh, he's just here for them because it's a movie.
Well, I think, like, in the same way that the new Star Trek movie captured the spirit and character of that original source material, I feel like they did that with the Avengers movie. Granted, they'd already done the heavy lifting of establishing all those characters, you know, in the preceding movies. And I honestly, when I first sort of, like, years ago, read they were going to make a Captain America and a Thor and then... tie it all into an Avengers movie, it sounded like a disaster in the making. But all those movies, I mean, Thor and Captain America are both decent.
I think Thor is probably the weakest out of.
But in hindsight, like them. some of the choices.
I didn't see Captain America.
Any of them? What about the Hulk?
Well, there's how many different versions of the Hulk were there?
About as many as Spider-Man.
Yeah. Two?
Oh. Yeah.
two recent ones. I mean, if you don't go all the way back to the TV show.
Right. Let's go to the TV show. That was awesome.
But some of the things that bugged me about those movies don't bug me in hindsight because they were planting seeds for the Avengers movie. Like having the Cosmic Cube show up in Captain America. Did it show up in Thor?
Yes.
I thought it was Thor.
And Captain America?
Did not see Captain America.
Because isn't that the Cosmic Cube, the thing that the Red Skull is powering all his stuff with? Or am I wrong about that?
Wait, what movie is that?
Crickets.
That's from the Captain America
movie. I didn't
see
Captain America.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway.
They said that in like an Iron Man 2, I think it was, they showed there were on a couple monitors, there were some, one was like the site in the desert southwest of the where the hammer landed. And there was another one simultaneously where Hulk was going nuts on the campus, whatever campus. So I think for people who, and I just read that, but I think for people who really lived, you know, like either read the comics in the, well, maybe
they
not
all
when
got
they came
them.
Out. But yeah, but people were just like, oh my God, did you see that? You know, it seems like they tipped their hat a lot.
I didn't. I was surprised that the Cosmic Cube was actually from the classic comic. It just seemed like such a generic movie device, like plot device. But after the fact, I read up on it. And we've been steeped in Avengers lore ever since because Evan got into watching Earth's Mightiest Heroes on Netflix, which is a good, you know, 30 extra hours of Avengers-y goodness. That's pretty good.
I thought you were going to say because you bought the new Avengers pinball table.
But expound.
Well, they came out with it along with the release of the movie, as Stern is wont to do. That's the only way you can release a pinball table these days, is with the big license.
Is it a well-regarded table?
Have not played. I think Mikey Boy over here has played.
I like it. I've played it a few times. But it's one of the better, newer machines.
Pinball podcast coming.
Pincast. Pinterest.
Someone will put it on there. Is there any cross-section of Pinterest users and listeners to our podcast? Comment.
Any women
out
there.
That's right.
Speaking of comments.
Not. Craig is comment hungry this season.
I am.
I think you want to recapture that thrill of reading Keith from Malta's comment.
I do.
From season two.
You know, if Keith is still listening, which he's probably not, he's probably like, oh, those guys are making fun of me. He probably has an English accent. He's probably like, oh, those guys are making fun of me. Well, no, Malta's an...
No, I know.
It's an English province or something.
I'm amused by how we've like, why we're trying to paint a picture of...
I love Keith. Okay.
I love Keith.
Okay. I'm not going to apologize. The point is...
Craig has a picture on his wall that's just a shadowy figure with a question mark.
It's better if he doesn't hear that.
An empty avatar.
Keith, send Craig a picture, please.
I want hundreds of Keiths. I want people to listen to our podcast and like it and get something out of it and think it's good enough.
Yeah, comments are appreciated.
If you, from the main page right now with Podbean, I don't think there's a way around it. You can't see if there's a comment for any episode.
Yes.
Which sucks because a lot of people, if they're going along and they see that a thread or whatever has no comments, you're not going to click on it.
You're not going to click on the comments link.
You're not
going
to click
to
see anything. But if you see that a link has, like, you know, it says comments and then parentheses 48, you might be like, oh, that's... There's some things to read, you know? And then you might click on it and then comment yourself. So it's hard to tell. Even if someone comments, you can't tell from the main page, which hopefully we can fix.
And from our conversation just now, you know that there probably aren't any comments there. So why would you bother clicking on it? And yet, this season three, it's a whole new ballgame. Anything else that we should have but didn't podcast about in the off season?
No.
We dropped the ball on Avengers, for sure.
Yeah.
We probably should have followed through even with the negative tone on The Hobbit. So, Craig, you started doing some your homework here for season three.
I did. I listened to our last four podcasts. That's something.
Mm-hmm. Get back into the swing of
things. They put them to sleep.
I got on towerofthehand.com again. I read the first 10 chapters of season three. But what I really wanted to do, my brother just stopped by and he said he has, He said a magazine that you don't buy at grocery stores because it's too expensive. I didn't know what that meant. That recapped HBO's version of the where we're at. So never mind the books recap. It was an episodic.
Episode TV guide.
Guide, right. Which I think we were going to...
Well, so, yeah. We'll segue into the Game of Thrones-centric portion of the evening by... We're going to go watch... What is it?
Like a 10-minute recap of season 2.
Catcher Upper.
Yeah.
Major events and such.
We're going to watch that right now, and we'll be right back. We watched The Thing. Hey, we're back! We almost watched The Thing before we got started, but I was like, hey, let's wait. Because I don't want to get all Game of Thrones-y until I've had my rambling rant about all the between seasons episodes that may have been, but now we broke. We watched what are on HBO on demand.
Yes, it was like a 15-minute recap of season 2, basically. Hit on all the big events from all the major characters. Had some comments from the actors themselves.
It was pretty cool, actually. You know, it's always weird to hear some of those actors.
With or without accents.
Yeah.
With or without accents.
Go on.
By the way, pretty much everything we said once we turned the mics off was funny. We obviously haven't been saving it for the podcast today.
No one will ever believe that.
No, guys, we're funny, right?
Nope.
Mike liked the synopsis so much that he colored his lips blue, Pyatt Priest style. With a little smile.
Got the blue lipstick out.
Mike kind of looks like a young Pyatt Pri. Pyatt Pri also looks a little bit like a desiccated Dean Pelton from Community.
Thanks.
No, no offense, Mike. Who,
no. You don't look like... No, I'm...
You look magical.
You look good.
Desecrated Dean Pelton.
Craig has promised not to talk.
Yeah.
Good. We thought we'd get you on that one, but I guess not.
He's just going to sing.
Just smile and nod.
Here's what happened. I came over to do season 3, episode 0, and I brought a bottle of wine, and then I got affected.
Now it's like drunken moments in history.
I wish. If we could do anything half that funny, we would not be here right now. We'd be in history. So I don't feel like a valid contributor. So going forward, I have a few promises to make.
Do you feel like an invalid contributor?
An invalid contributor. I'm not going to wheeze. I'm not going to wheeze into the microphone this season like this. Say something funny. Do you know how old that sounds?
I like that. That's your signature.
No,
wheeze.
Don't signature wheezy. So I'm not going to do that anymore, and I'm going to try not to say, well, in the book they did this anymore, which you also said you were going to try not to do.
That's right. I was talking to you the other day, and I said I'm looking forward to season 3 because enough time has passed since I read the books.
Mm-hmm.
That's not all super fresh in my mind. I'm hoping with a little distance from the source material, I can appreciate the TV show on its own merits a little bit more.
Surprisingly, I vowed to say this didn't happen in the book this way more often.
Somebody has to say it.
The gag is Phil hasn't read the book, so that's funny.
Phil just now refused to watch the trailer. He wants to be... Mm-hmm. The purest of the pure.
Uninitiated.
There is none pure.
Trailer equals spoily.
He wants to be able to wear that white dress at his wedding.
Well, if there's anything we've done plenty of on this podcast so far, it's talk about season 2 of Game of Thrones. But we haven't watched the trailer, so that we're not spoiled.
We're not spoiled, little brat.
But we probably have all... Has everybody read, you know, the articles? Everybody knows... Who's playing what, new characters-wise? I guess Phil probably doesn't, but...
I want this podcast to appeal to people who refuse to read the books, who are just like, you know, fuck reading a 1,000-page book 5 times.
Who has time?
Who has time? And who want to get their content from the show and then come here for witty and insightful commentary.
Phil is the target demographic for this podcast.
Right.
If Phil's not enjoying it, then we're not doing our jobs.
Phil? How is it?
I'm biased.
He hates it.
I hate the sound of my own voice, so I hate the podcast.
Well, I guess this is the last episode.
With Phil. We've got a replacement all lined up. Keith, we've got your ticket from Malta.
Oh, man.
Booked over.
Can we do like a remote podcast with Keith on? Because I love Keith.
You know, I think you just love the idea of Keith.
So there's a lot of magic coming up, a lot of zombies, things that people like. Things that people like. Ding.
White Walkers and Dragons.
Oh, my.
You said a long time
Shadow
ago.
Shadow Babies.
You said a long time ago that the Game of Thrones world, Westeros, the whole place is not a magic-centric setting. And you're right. But I think, like Phil said, we're about to get into a more magic-happy version of what we've seen.
That's one of the cool sort of themes of the books, is that magic creeps back into the world gradually more and more as it goes on. So things get more far out and cool. And as they go on,
the mana market's going to pick up because of it. A lot of potion makers are going to get into that.
Phil says mana when some people say mana, just so you know.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's neither are wrong.
And I think the magic will lend to the TV adaptation more, you know, CG budget notwithstanding.
I'll bet they have a bigger budget this season. What do you think? Two profitable seasons?
I think maybe. HBO ought to be willing to spend more. Oh, here's a factoid for you. Apparently, Game of Thrones is the most pirated program on the internet.
Did you see the comment from the, one of the producers where it's like, it got kind of misquoted, but I think it was like, we don't care about if people pirate it, but it was...
As long as they're still paying us to make it.
Did you see the comment from the oatmeal regarding it?
I did.
That's a good bit of internet-ness.
Internet-ness.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, he basically ranted that it's ridiculous that the easiest way for him to get it is by BitTorrent.
Right. And then he went on to, maybe in a rare, maybe for him, kind of bit of like bravado or whatever, said, hey, I don't want to say I have massive internet influence, but I built a Tesla museum. But before that, I posted this comic about how hard it was to get a hold of if you want to pay for it, get a hold of the episodes. And then the next week they cut the price in half. No big deal. Well, he's right.
We like the oatmeal like we like Keith.
It's true.
Not very much.
Mike said the opposite of what the case is.
Mike's the contrarian in this group. I don't know if I'm going to be able to bite my tongue and not just rant on my comparisons with the book, since...
Well, we need that, right? I mean...
Since that is the source material.
Well, that's all I ever think of.
You said you were going to do that last season.
I'm not going to do that. Well, you know what I'll do? I'm not necessarily going to stop drawing comparisons to the book, but I'll stop complaining that they're not living up to what the book could have been, maybe? No?
I don't think you should do that.
I shouldn't make any promises.
No filters.
I should be true to myself.
You promised to not make any promises? You just broke your own promise. We should listen to that song. This is Craig's favorite song.
I like that song.
There's a song about promises.
The Promise by When in Rome.
Promise plug.
Promises by like...
Ooh.
Who is that by?
Who was that by?
Like OMD or...
No. Oh, man. It's on the tip of my mind.
The Human League?
Promises.
Well, the important thing is we're here, we're together, it's Sunday night.
We're getting back into the ritual of the matter.
We're getting the band back together.
We have T-minus 1 week.
Kicking off
till the shit drops.
We're getting all the shit out of the way. Next week's going to be, we'll be bang on.
It's going to be solid gold.
Funny 50 minutes.
We're having bangers and mash next week.
Engaging, funny.
That sounds good.
Content heavy, insightful.
Content rich.
We might want to have some guest podcasters this season.
We have a guest who's interested already.
It's a lady.
Well, yeah, we need
it's
some
a lady.
Little female energy up in this.
Do you remember that
cast?
In season 1, episode whatever, I don't care because I wasn't here yet, that someone complained I want to comment. Where'd the girl go? Where's the girl? We like the girl.
That's a verbatim quote.
It might be.
Yeah, that's true.
So we might have the return of.
We can pay plenty of girls to come and talk to us.
It's Mike's solution for everything.
No,
we're just gonna go crazy this year. Guest casters
who may or may not have been paid to be here.
We'll just pull people off the street, homeless men.
That's right.
Although we did make promises of casts that didn't happen last at the end of season two, so I don't know if anyone really believes us much anymore. But
I know ever since the whole
we're trying to gain your trust back.
The
here
exactly. We don't want you to hold a grudge for the Prometheus tease. I guess technically you could call this the Prometheus podcast because we mentioned it several times.
And that's it got what it deserved, basically.
That's right.
According to you guys.
All right.
Hey, nowhere to go but up.
Cue outro music. Here we go. Thanks for listening. And the next one is going to be amazing. And you'll be there on the ground floor.